Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Syke.
Well, good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So this is the Investor Resources live radio program, which means it's also a call-in show. We have a magic number, 888-312-5757, if you are looking for some clarity, which we try to provide. And heaven knows there is plenty of clarity in great need in the financial arena.
Man, oh man.
Anyway, pick up the phone, give us a call, 888-312-5757, if it has something to do with the market, with your portfolio, with the strong recommendation from your financial advisor, and you're wondering, should I really do this? Is this really for me, or is it for him? Maybe he's got a car payment due. It's not, you don't have to worry about rent, because particularly in Seattle, the queen in residence, the mayor, has extended eviction moratorium. So if you're one of those people who normally have rent, it's not a big deal. And when it is, I mean, you just move outside, pitch a tent, live anywhere you want in the city. Doesn't matter. Landlords, no, that's a different thing. Nobody cares about them. They're wealthy, right? Yeah, well, except that most landlords with single-family residential facilities are their mom and dad. They are not big corporations.
Sure. Right.
But Mayor Durkin, she apparently doesn't think they vote. But if you're homeless, you don't even need ID. You just show up and vote because you know who's scratching your back. Anyway, that is the real world in Seattle. That's just absolutely amazing. But let's talk about how bad the news was in the market this week. My goodness gracious, we have been waiting for a year for the economy to open. And the Fed says, yeah, it's going to open. And so the market says, what on earth? When did that happen? That can't be good. We're going to have an economy that's working back to normal. We thought this was normal. What on earth is going on? Let's see how bad news is. With stocks, with bonds, international equities. Man, it looked like Chicken Little was right this week.
Everything was selling off, and it's all because, you know, the Fed says, well, we're going to raise interest rates, but you know, by the end of 2023, so it's not like they're right around the corner. And like they said, we're raising rates because the economy is coming back much quicker than expected. So we don't need to stay in panic mode here any longer by 2023 anyway. And boy, the market didn't like that at all.
It's late 2023. Now, 2023, I think, has 12 months.
Pretty sure.
And to get there, we have to go through 2022. That's 12 months, and we're 6 months away. My goodness, rates are going to go from 0.25% to 0.5% in 2.5 years. That is disaster looming right around the corner.
We'll never make it. It's so funny the kinds of reactions you can get from the market, and then, you know, it usually takes a few days, and everybody's like, well, you know, that's not really a bad thing. Everything's going to be okay. In fact, they're saying everything's going a little better than they thought. So they're going to move up that the interest rate going up. But right now, like they said, they're still buying bonds. Rates are still going to stay low for years to come, a couple more. And then finally, they're going to have to get to this. They really are telegraphing what they're going to do. They're not going to take anyone by surprise. They're going to make sure everyone knows it's coming, when it's coming, trying to avoid what's going on now anyway, which is an unwarranted sell-off in some sort of panic mode.
Well, we have had extraordinary stimulus, for which many of us have argued it was overdone. They should have stopped this 6 months ago and let things begin to normalize. But the markets have grown so accustomed to Uncle Sugar that just the thought of the Fed's money, the largesse from government going away, was like getting a migraine, not being able to look at anything.
Absolutely. Everybody thought, well, this must mean, that must mean it's bad. You know, they're going to start raising rates, and it's just things are returning to normal is all that's going on here. But, you know, sometimes the market just overreacts, and it looks like that's what's going on right now.
Trying to figure out how that's going to affect your portfolio and what should be done about it, we do have, well, we expect to have some guidance for that in our July 10th stock market update. Normally, we do them on the first Saturday of the month, except that happens to be a three-day weekend with the 4th of July, where we celebrate the founding of the greatest country in history, the United States of America. But since you're probably all going to be getting ready to light off fireworks wherever various kings and queens of government allow us to do that anymore, we postponed 1 week, which is normal. We get a three-day holiday on the first of the month, and we wait 1 week. We want to have as many of you as possible paying attention to what's going on in the market. If you have not registered for the July 10th stock market update, it is easy peasy. Just go to irradio.com. That's irradio.com. Lower left-hand corner says webinar. A couple of clicks, name and email. You will get an admission ticket delivered electronically free of charge. And even if you cannot attend, we know you will regret it greatly. So we provide a replay link. As long as you register, we know you are interested, and we will see that you have an opportunity to review and study. I started to say our great wisdom, but maybe it's just our great chance at wisdom. Anyway, looking at what the Fed has said 4 months about inflation, it is transitory. Now think about that. What in the economy is not transitory? Inflation is always transitory. And the big fear of inflation, which many of us baby boomers happen to recall, was waiting in gas lines back in the 70s during the OPEC embargo, when they controlled the world oil supply, kind of like they do now, no thanks to the current administration. And we saw inflation skyrocketing. We saw government treasuries, 10-year rates at 13%. You could walk into your friendly banker and say, I want to buy a CD. What do you give me? How's 12% a year for 10 years sound?
That was reality.
And I had clients that said, why should I put money in the market, which averages 8 or 9, and I can get 12 for 10 years, and the government guarantees it?
Hard to argue with that.
That's a strong argument. But we've had, with this transitory inflation, and you know, that word perhaps is misguided. It is just inflation. How long does it last and how bad will it get? We thought inflation was going to be bad until last week when the Fed said, no, it's interest rates that are going to be bad. But commodities have gone higher. Bond yields are going higher. Corporations were raising prices. I don't think that's going to go away. When was the last time you saw companies, well, they do sales to get you to come in and buy something that you may not need, but it looks like a bargain. And while you're there, you pick up a few other things that aren't on sale. That does happen. But these trends are reversing, except for lowering prices, because what they do If they have to lower prices, is they shrink the item of the commodity. I don't buy candy bars anymore, but I know going through the checkout stand, they are there to tempt your eye and your sweet tooth. And I remember when you picked up a Hershey bar, it filled your hand, or a Snickers bar, or a Milky Way. You know, you picked it up, and it weighed something. Well, it still does, except you need an atomic scale to figure out what the new weight is.
A little slimmer than they used to be, you bet.
But the price isn't down. Price is up. That is inflation. It's just a little bit more hidden. Anyway, things have been backing off. There's knee-jerk reaction this week. And it will take a little bit to kind of settle things out. We only have basically another week to go to end the month. And part of what happens during this last week of any quarter is mutual funds who have to get ready to send you a report if you still own a mutual fund. It's the quarter end magic readjustment date. We know that when you look at a mutual fund that says we're a large cap growth fund, you expect certain types of stocks to be in there. And on the last day of the month, they better be. Now, any other day of the quarter, they don't have to be there.
There's no telling where they went to try to get some returns to improve the look of their fund. But at the quarter end, they've got to get back to where they're supposed to be, because now they're going to have to report.
So that creates a little volatility between now and the end of the month. And we're pretty close to the end of the segment.
Sure, we can go ahead and take a break here. I'd like to remind everyone that we do have our next market update on July 10th, Saturday, right after the show here, 9:15. You can register for that by going to iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. Just head over to the webinar page and give the registration link a click. You'll get an email, and there'll be a link in there. And on the 10th, you just click that link after the show. You'll be live online with us. We'll be able to show you what it is we're looking at. We usually give an overview of the market and the economy. We go through what's going on in our portfolios, and then we always have plenty of time to answer your questions. So if you have questions about individual securities or anything to do with the market, it's a really good time to get those on the board. If you'd like a second opinion about anything that's in your portfolio, we'll be happy to go through that with you live online. Again, you can register for that at iriradio.com. If you want to talk to us this morning, give us a call, 888-312-5757. That is 888-312-5757. We will be right back. Stay with us.
Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
Yeah, happy days are here a bit here again. We're going to go back to normal. Inflation is transitory. Well, maybe and maybe not. The fact is, inflation is a serious problem for households because it shows up in the grocery store, the gas pump. I mean, you turn around and you want to buy popcorn in the movie theater. Well, maybe AMC is going to give it away free just to fill the place up. But I don't know that. In any event, when you have a fixed income, you're on salary with some company, it doesn't matter whether it's large or small, all of a sudden you find everything you're spending money on costs more. And you're saying, how do we manage this? Well, you ask for a raise. That might not be hard to get. We'll get to that in a little bit. But what we are dealing with here from an inflationary standpoint has nothing to do with households, because the Fed doesn't pay attention to households, and the markets really don't. The markets are driven by big money, Wall Street, if you will. Dark pools is another way. Who are those dark pools? Well, those are mutual funds, pension plans, really big investors. Well, you know some of them because they're local. Bezos comes to mind. Gates is another one. I mean, when they invest money through their processes, they don't actually have to go to the stock exchange to do that. There's other places to do that. And those big institutions basically are currently giving the Fed the benefit of the doubt that inflation is transitory, as it always is, and that this will go away and it will normalize. And they are long-term investors. You're not. You're a here-and-now investor, and I'm going to need my money next year investor, not 30, 40, 50 years from now, which is a pension plan problem. And it's a mutual funds concept. Hey, we've been here since 1930. We're not going anywhere.
Doing the same thing now we did in 1930, and they're not going to change. And that's what they're doing, and that's why things like inflation, transitory or not, doesn't really affect anything they're doing. And that's consumers. You know, we're the ones that notice that. We're the ones that have to go to the pump this week, and it makes a difference. And there probably is a lot of this inflation that is going to normalize. It is going to go away because we have, you know, artificially huge demand right now. All the money that the government's been handing out, there are jobs everywhere. Everybody's trying to get somebody to go back to work. So there's just not an issue with demand. There's demand everywhere. It's supply that is in such short on the short end of the stick right now, because we're just starting to reopen things on a larger scale, and we've got that imbalance going on right now. We've got a huge demand and low supply. Guess what? Prices go up. But, you know, a lot of it's probably not going to stay that way. The wage side, that's probably going to stick. Like you said, Don, that's really tough to go backwards on wages. So the wage side is probably going to stay at a higher level. But a lot of things are going to calm down.
Well, everybody's trying to get people to go back to work, except, of course, the government, who keeps saying, oh, you don't want to work? Here's more money. We haven't seen the proposal for the next round of payroll support, but if there's enough complaint, don't be surprised if another one surfaces. But be that as it may, the fact that we did supplement household income for many families for the better part of, well, for more than a year, has created an opportunity for people to save a lot of money, which was not the intent of giving them more money. The intent was, here's money, go spend it, pump up the economy, except don't leave the house. Well, we can still spend money without leaving the house, and that benefited a handful of companies. But we have this is going to be a recession that ends like no other. Normally, at the end of a recession, people have drawn down their savings account, and they are eager to find a job to stay afloat. But now, this has never happened before. Mm-mm. That I know of. We have more money stashed on the sidelines. And that's one of the arguments for higher stock prices, is what are you going to do with the money when interest rates, oh yeah, if you wait till 2023, instead of getting zero, you're bound to get something more, but it won't be very much.
Not much, no, and that's the way that change is going to happen. The Fed's telegraphed that pretty solidly right now. They're going to go very small incremental changes. There's not going to be any huge or extremely rapid increase in the interest rates when they finally get around to doing it. So it's going to be a very orderly, very pre-announced situation. So there really isn't any reason to be too up in arms about that.
So one of the things that is happening, it's a real conflict, because we learned how to work from home over this last year out of necessity. Businesses said, you can't come to the office because the government won't let us open the doors. So if we can, let's set you up at home and we'll just do the Zoom meeting. We use GoToMeeting, but Zoom has been dominant. You can Skype one another, see each other, talk. But the collaboration's not quite the same. So the young workers are really interested in coming back into the office because they want to brainstorm with people who've been there longer, have experience. How do you climb the corporate ladder? How do you ask for a pay raise? How do you get more responsibility so I can get paid more? I mean, you learn these things because you're hanging around people who've already made that journey. So the millennials want to get back in the office. You take the older generation, the X and the boomers, not so much. Hey, I like working from home. You want me to come to the office? Here's my resignation. And that is a surprise. What do you mean you don't want to come back? No, I like working from home. I like not having to have an hour commute each way. See my kids, my dog, my spouse, mow the lawn leisurely instead of rushed on Saturday. So businesses are trying to figure out, what are we going to do with this? And nobody's, well, I haven't seen any article. Anybody's figured it out.
Nobody's figured it out. You're right. It's going to take a while to see where that, again, where that equilibrium shows up, because work from home for many, many people for whom it was possible has become very, very popular. And yeah, people are saying, hey, if I can't get the kind of work and home balance that I had before, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm just going to look elsewhere. And it's going to, the disruption there is not done yet. And companies coming out of this, coming out of the shutdown are really going to have to think very carefully about how they're going to reenter, have people reentering the workforce. Some people want everybody back to work. Some people say, nope, the remote thing's great. Let's just keep doing it. So it's going to be a while before that works out.
So the financial industry is always an opportunistic one. So with the work from home scenario over the last year, what popped up? Well, mutual funds and exchange traded funds with work from home as their theme. But what if work from home doesn't last? Well, if that doesn't last, they'll just close them down because they didn't get enough money. But if they can attract enough money, they'll survive and they'll make an adjustment and say this is long term. But for those who are working from home, there is a caution. Because if you can work from home, if your job can be done remotely, guess who you're competing with? The entire global workforce. Your job is potentially outsourced to a foreigner. And we've seen that happen. And we've lost a lot of jobs overseas, particularly if you have called a call center asking for help on one of your electronics. The odds of talking with somebody here in the United States have continually reduced. That problem is going to rise as long as work from home looks possible.
Because it's really not. Yeah, it's not work from home. It's work from anywhere. You know, it doesn't.
That's right.
It doesn't matter where you are anymore if you really get set up for that. So if it doesn't matter where you are, it really doesn't matter where you are. You can do that from any country, and it's seamless as long as everyone's on the same page when they get everything set up, and it's happening more and more. You know, I read an article from Airbnb. They said that over 25% of their bookings now are for more than 28 days. That's up from less than 8% before the pandemic. So there are lots of people who realize, wait a minute, I don't have to be at home to do this. I just need internet access. So instead of going to the beach for a week, we're going for a month, and that's going to be a work and vacation time for me both. But that's already showing up when people are like, it dawns on you, hey, wait a minute, I can do this from anywhere. And that's a double-edged sword, because the company can have it done from anywhere also.
That's true. And many people who moved out of urban areas into more remote areas, Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, the Dakotas, they were all beneficiaries of people leaving Seattle. And with those moves, many of them took a pay cut because it's less expensive to live out there. And now there's another pay cut that may be coming if it is offshored. And those jobs become more difficult to bring back. But one of the things that is positive is that new businesses are popping up faster than any record that we have for new business. And the rate at which people are willing to quit means that there is confidence that they can get another job, or they're prepared to start their own. This has surprised business as much as the Fed. And the Fed, who part of whose job is supposed to be to reach full employment, is flummoxed over the number of baby boomers who in this process opted to just retire, no plan to return to work. And it distorts the labor force that the Fed's trying to get back into place. And it distorts the trained, experienced workforce that businesses have to draw on, which is complicated by a $15 an hour mandate on wages. that has severely hurt teenage and early college employment. People who have not had job experience, and they're supposed to come in and generate profits above the $15 an hour cost when they've never had a job. They, in many cases, they don't know how to show up on time.
which is not a good thing. We need to do that. Speaking of time, Tom, we're right at the bottom of the hour. Time for us to get our bottom of the hour break in here. I'd like to remind everyone that we have our next market update coming up on Saturday, July 10th, 9:15, right after the show. You can register for that by going to iriradio.com. Also, if you're not getting our Week in Review, which is our weekly email newsletter, you can sign up for that by sending an email to help@iriradio.com. That is help@iriradio.com. Just put Week in Review in the subject line, and we need your first and last name, and you will begin receiving that on Monday. You are listening to Investor Resources here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, well, all right, sir. Here we go there. What are they going to give for? I have a $600 down here now, 10 and now, 25 and now, 35 and now, 50 and now, 60. We'll give me 60 now, 75, 75, another $85.
Well, the market is an auction market. It's kind of hard to see that when you can't see the guys down on the New York Stock Exchange throwing pieces of paper up in the air and shouting at one another across this massive room. But if you want to pretend, I mean, you can rent it. I don't know if they're renting it right now.
Probably not right now.
But you want an event on the New York Stock Exchange floor, it is available because computers have taken over those jobs. You mentioned our Week in Review. If you have not subscribed to it, send us an email, help@iriradio.com. Put Week in Review in the subject line. We need your first and last name in the body of the email so we can set you up for distribution. If you don't like it, it's easy to unsubscribe. But you want to be sure you get it this week because we have a big announcement which we will be making in this week's Week in Review. You want to know what it is? Subscribe to Week in Review and it will be made known to you. Oh, we've been talking about the Fed and what it's doing and the fact that it's going to raise interest rates in the next several years. When you take a look at the reaction in the stock market to what the Fed said this last week in their published papers, we can basically summarize that as more of the same.
We're not changing anything right now. That was the message.
So we had some client call and say, well, with this is going on, and look at how bad the market is today. Now, you have to remember, if the index is nearly 40,000 and it drops 400 points, it is not a big deal unless you are a TV business anchor who has to attract advertising, which they do by scaring the dickens out of you so you watch for more. But when we look at what was actually made, the Fed about the what the official said, it basically said, this is business as usual for another couple of years. And while the market reacted like the punch bowl was being taken away, the Fed is the punch bowl. And they don't have full employment. And they don't have high inflation. So they still have a job. They've been trying to get inflation above 2% since 2009. Their policies are so effective that more than a decade later, they're still trying to figure out how to get inflation to 2%. And it looks like it might happen. And it's, oh, my goodness, what do we do now?
If it actually works, and it was, you know, it wasn't the Fed doing it anyway, but Chairman Powell said that if they get the inflation running over 2%, they're just going to leave it alone because we need inflation up for a number of years before we can get an average of 2% because it's been running below average for a decade now. So they're really happy about the inflation kicking up. They're really glad it's here, and they're hoping it's going to stay for a bit.
So we deal with inflation. There are things that are driving inflation. But as we said in the earlier segments, all inflation is transitory, particularly with wood, which we have talked about off and on for the last couple of months. We happen to be doing some renovation since we've been in our house 20 years. Things wear out. And we have work going on. And guys have been able to show up with equipment and with the wood that they have needed to deal with that. But if you have a big project as our friend down in Texas does with his barn. He finally threw in the big bucks and bought plywood. I started throwing the towel, but it wasn't the towel that he was throwing. It was a lot of money to finish the roof and the second floor of his barn that has been standing undone for 2 years now. Anyway, wood literally grows on trees. You know, that's where it comes from. Unlike beef, which some millennials have claimed just that they make it at the grocery store. That person's never been outside the city to see what a farm looks like, or probably even a forest. They don't know where lumber comes from. But that's the next generation, and we shake our heads in disbelief. But anyway, lumber prices are actually starting to come down. The supply chain for delivery hasn't caught up with that yet, but cash prices in the lumber market are dropping, and it is going to continue to slide. That's going to be a benefit for home builders who can get back to work. It is not the same as wishing your semiconductors for your computer, or in our case, we were replacing the ceiling fan, and the one that showed up didn't work. So, well, what's this deal with the remote switch? I thought, you know, ours was wired. I mean, you punch the button and it goes through electrical circuit of copper all the way up to the fan at the top of the ceiling. And they said, oh, we don't make those anymore. Everything's remote. I said, well, it doesn't work. And the lady on the other end said, after I did all sorts of stuff with buttons, yeah, it doesn't work, does it? Well,
there you go.
So my wife calls. Part of the parts we need, they are stuck in a container ship off of L.A. or Long Beach. They're not sure which. And they're bound to be here by the end of July.
We hope.
we hope.
Yeah.
So, fortunately, if it gets hot, we do have air conditioning that we can turn on. But we prefer just to use the fan and not support Puget Power any more than we have to. We already touched on this resignation wave that is coming for companies. That's next on our list of things we're going to talk about, but I think I've already hammered that enough. We don't need to talk about the people who were telling their boss, I don't need you
later
anymore.
Yep, time to go.
Yeah. But this offshoring work, that should scare people who are working from home. Take another look and see if, in fact, you really have the job security you think you do, and at least build another backup plan. You know, that's just good planning.
Absolutely. And the other part of that is they're looking at being able to automate a lot of the jobs that people are doing remotely. So if you don't need to be anywhere in particular, that may be something that can be automated, and companies are going to do as much of that as they can, because I mean labor costs is huge and going up, and so if they can reduce the number of people they need to hire, it all becomes about productivity, and productivity increases, and that means there's going to be more automation coming online.
So the pandemic, at the height of the pandemic, we had almost 2/3 of economic activity was being done remotely. Work from home. You don't have to come in. Not only do you not have to come in, but nobody's going to open the door for you. All the security stuff has been changed. But what we are finding is that there are jobs that can be done that are going to be more difficult to offshore. One of the things that America is really good at, and better, I think, than any other country, because there are so many of us who steal our ideas, do copycat, and then say, sue us. You know, what patent violation? We don't see a patent violation. Anyway, you deal with technology, you're in science, you're in consulting. There is a lot of opportunity that's going to open up. The issue is, if you haven't found a job because you've been unemployed and you're in these areas, think of what you can do that somebody else hasn't thought of. Can you take your talents, take your skills, take your work history and experience and generate new opportunity? You may become the entrepreneur that creates the next Amazon, well, or something like it,
right?
Maybe a little smaller.
But. That's a tall order, but that is happening more and more. That is one of the reasons, as you said earlier, that businesses are popping up at a faster rate than any time since those numbers have been tracked. And a lot of that is people saying, "Hey, I'm gonna give this a go myself, and I'm gonna do it right now." The great lockdown gave a lot of people a long time to think about what it was they were doing, and am I doing really what I want to be doing? And if not, maybe I can get there, and now may be a good time to make that shift. And there's a lot of that going on right now.
So cities have become highly vacated over this last year, but they are going to have a resurgent, particularly as they lower rents, landlords lower rents, and they are.
It's coming down, sure.
New York City, Manhattan, is beginning to fill up with deeply discounted rents. People are coming back saying, well, it's a little more affordable. But why are cities important? Cities are important because those office workers in the knowledge jobs, they go out for lunch together and they start brainstorming. They're collaborating. Maybe it's at the coffee shop. It's after work at a cocktail lounge. And they're brainstorming. They're coming up with new ideas. And they go back and say, how can we make that work? That is America's strength. You don't get the same benefit in other countries because we have more freedom than anybody else so far. I mean, there's some threat to that. But what happens with these city jobs, these brainiacs, if you will, is that every one of those jobs creates five more jobs that cannot be offshored. I mean, you think of it as people going out to lunch. Well, we are facing that problem now. Restaurants are open, and yet they can't get wait staff to take care of the people that want to come in. In fact, I was in a deli yesterday, and some people came in for a late lunch. And the owner said, I'm sorry, but we're not open until 5 o'clock. That's when we have staff available. They used to be open from 10 o'clock in the morning until closing at night. Serving lunch, you come in, you want a bite, you want a sandwich. It was there. They had wait staff all day long. Now it's spotty. I read stories about people who own restaurants, and the owner, who normally is greeting customers, being sure that all the work is being done and keeping everybody happy, is helping with cooking, doing dishes, changing the table settings, trying to get people in and out because he's having to fill in for workers who have not yet applied for the job. And they can't, they've got jobs posted. Where's it going to come from? Well, it will show up. But right now we're in this period of transition. Those jobs are essential for the health of the American economy. We just have to reach a point where the government isn't paying to not work. And we go back to being fiscally responsible with our own finances.
That's part of what's making the recovery so out of balance right now. And it's very strong in some places and very weak in others, because there are a lot of people that don't have to go back to work yet. But that's, that'll all change. It's all going to work out. It's just a matter of when and who are the winners going to be, because it's going to be great for some places, not so great for others. So it's going to be, again, it's just one of those, we've never been here before, have to watch this play out and see where we end up. We have ended up here at our last break of the morning. We have a whole segment left. If you'd like to get a call in here this morning, give us a call at 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. And if you'd like to register for our July market update coming up on Saturday, July 10th, 9:15, right after the show here, just go to iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. Go to the webinar page and click that registration link, and we will be online live on July 10th. We will be right back. Please stay with us.
So I'm telling you right now, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Hey, you gotta be strong.
Well, the strong do survive, and the strong that usually survive top of the heap happened to be the Fed. Every now and then the Fed chairman does get changed. He gets rolled over by an administration. And it's kind of interesting. It is going to be interesting because Chairman Powell's term is up for renewal. It'll be interesting to see if the administration decides to keep him on or not. We have talked today, I guess our theme has been transitory inflation. And we made the point that all inflation is always transitory, as is everything else in the economy. So I have a chart in front of me from the Fed, Federal Reserve, that looking at inflation, they have a 10-year view of where inflation is going to be. So when we think about their announcement and we think that has to do with next week, they are much longer term in their perspective of dealing with stuff. So markets are dynamic. They change all the time. And most of you investors who are dealing with advisors who are not us, because we know clients are listening and we thank you. We appreciate your business. We don't do what your last guy or gal did, which was set the portfolio, set it and forget it. I mean, the Ron Popeil adherence. Oh, you answer some questions, we give you a portfolio, now go away. There's nothing left to do. We'll rebalance it. We're going to sell your winners and buy your losers because that's the way this system works. We think you should own leadership. And leadership lately has been inflation. It's driven other parts of the market. And inflation may, in fact, subside. Could be really shorter term transitory because it's driven by supply chain issues. I mentioned we have parts that are parked in a container somewhere outside L.A. or Long Beach.
And they're not alone. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
There's a ton of them out there. That's right. Yeah. I keep thinking things are improving because I watch the turnover of the container ships that are at anchor out here by Blake Island, and they're turning over faster. I'm thinking things should be improving. But we'll wait and see. So maybe that supply chain issue resolves. It could be, and this is the fear, that the Fed will just simply tighten money supply and the punch bowl will be taken away. We don't know that yet. Or maybe the spending binge by the federal government is effectively over due to congressional gridlock. And we can say hallelujah to that, because if Congress can't get anything done, life is much more stable. And they aren't increasing the debt that our great-grandchildren will be burdened with. And the more debt the government takes on, the slower the economy, which makes it more difficult for economic expansion, new jobs, to pay the interest on the government debt.
Right now, there seems to be an overwhelming feeling inside the Beltway that the amount of debt just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That number is no longer an issue. And that, of course, is not true. It's always an issue. That debt is a headwind to the market. And even if we don't ever have to actually, you know, pay it down, or there's a time limit that we're stuck behind, like people are when you make a loan, when you take out a loan, that's still debt that we owe. And especially when rates start to tick up, that debt load, that debt service can get very, very onerous on the government's budget.
And right now the bond market appears to be saying the Fed's right. The Fed knows what's going on.
They are right now, correct. Yeah.
Because with inflation, interest rates should be rising, and they're not. They're falling. Are they falling because inflation really is a mirage? Or is it because the United States Treasury market is the only market in the world that has rates above zero from a government that is still theoretically able to pay its bills? We have not defaulted yet on a single Treasury obligation. So we have a ton of money coming into the United States in the Treasury market, which is forcing rates down without regard to inflationary impacts. So part of the difficulty in today's market is looking at conditions and trying to make a decision based on what happened in the 70s or any prior time. But that's the way most people's portfolios are built. It's not on today's market. It's on what's happened over the last 90 years. On average, that seems good enough to me.
And when you bring that history to bear on your portfolio today, it's very dangerous because you're not looking at apples to apples there. It's a completely different economic reality in 1970 or 1950 or 1930. But that's all being rolled into your portfolio today in 2021, and it's not healthy. It's a bad way to allocate your portfolio.
Well, for instance, you've got a 60-40 stock bond split, 60% in equities, 40% in bonds of some type,
which is very common, by the way, that portfolio.
That is the most common portfolio in the country because people say, "Well, I'm not really aggressive, but you know, I can't be that conservative, or I won't make anything at all." So you end up with this 60-40 roundabout split. Well, the bonds in that portfolio, using average returns, are supposed to generate 5.5% per year for the rest of your life. What do you think you're getting today?
A little less than that.
And so when interest rates rise, that hurts your bond portfolio. But the older you get, the more money goes into bonds. That's what happens with target date funds in your 401k. And the closer you get to retirement, the more bonds they buy, which means you believe interest rates will continue to fall the rest of your lifetime, as they have over the last 35 years. Interest rates are down 90 to 95%, and you believe, because you're putting money into bonds, that interest rates will fall from 0.5%. What's 90% lower?
That's a really small number, yeah.
Yeah, but if they don't fall another 90%, then your average rate of return is not going to come into reality. It's going to turn into disaster. But don't worry about it. That's the way we do all portfolios, except here at Investor Resources. We used to do that, frankly. We are embarrassed to admit it, but it was a very expensive lesson for us and for clients to figure out that the assumptions in that standard balanced portfolio make absolutely no sense in today's world.
It cannot be replicated at this point. And it's not a matter of, well, let's just wait. We know it can't be done. So, I mean, if you have 50 years, then maybe you're going to be okay. But anything less than that, you're going to way underperform. You're not going to hit any of your goals because the portfolio cannot generate the returns that the assumptions say they should.
I was in the grocery store yesterday and a neighbor saw me and stopped me and just started chatting, and I mentioned what we do, and he said, "I didn't know you were doing that." He's two houses away, but I have to admit, we don't see each other frequently. And he's been talking to a nationally advertised firm. And I said, "Well, that's interesting. So if you do that, here's how your portfolio is going to be set up," as we just briefly described in the 60-40 mix. And I said, from our position, that makes absolutely no sense because that is not today's market. Those assumptions are bad assumptions. You will be greatly disappointed unless perhaps we return back to the 60s and have a stock market history in front of us, a stock market future that looks like that. And he said, "Well, I'm not sure that's going to happen." I said, "I'm pretty sure it's not." So maybe I should talk to you before I talk to this big firm back east who I have no idea who they are. I mean, you know, it's just a phone number. Well, you know, we will do, as we mentioned in our breaks, a free portfolio analysis. Let's take a look at what you have, whether or not it's actually positioned for today's economy. What are you going to do, and how are the rules set up so it will adjust to the economy instead of ignoring what is going on in the current marketplace, which is what most portfolios do. A little tweak here and there, and they tell you, "Yeah, we took care of it." But when the market tanks, they don't take care of anything. They tell you the market always goes up, and after all, you're a long-term investor. Oh, you're 80. Yeah, that doesn't work real well for 70 and 80-year-olds. You are not a long-term investor. You need something that responds to the current market. Call us at 800-317-7777. 9119. Email us help@iriradio.com. Register for the July 10th market update, iriradio.com. Lord willing, we'll be back this next week. Have a great Father's Day for those of you who are fathers. Remember yours.